الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون صدق الله العظيم سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الإيمان أفضل فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الهجرة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, one of the absolute realities of life, the absolute certainties, which unfortunately such is the attraction and the temporary enjoyment of this world, that inevitably majority of us, with regards to this certainty, we are conducting ourselves in this world in a constant state of denial. In the Arabic language, that which is an absolute certainty, we find the word is yaqeen. In other words, to believe and have total conviction about something. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interestingly, in Quranic terminology, this word yaqeen is used to refer to maut and death. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Worship your Rabb, exert yourselves in earning your akhirat. Hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Until, Allah Ta'ala does not say until maut comes or until death comes. Allah says, hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Until the absolute certainty comes. Interestingly, why does Quran use this word yaqeen? Because as I mentioned, unfortunately, majority of us are living our lives in a state of denial. Many times before I've mentioned this, time is that makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose very movement defies logic. You sit in a car, you press the accelerator, car goes forward. Apply energy to a boat, a ship, an aeroplane, anything. It moves forward. Unfortunately, majority of us have this mindset that time is also moving forward. Time is not moving forward. Time is that ajib makhluk of Allah which is moving backwards. It is receding. We are not gaining time, we are losing time. Hasan Basri rahimahullah beautifully encapsulates this with the expression where he says, Al-mawtu ma'akudun binawasikum wa'd-dunya tutwa mi waraikum. He says, mort and death has caught you by your forelock. It's in front of you. And this life, this world, this time, tutwa mi waraikum, is being wrapped up behind you. You are losing time. And majority of us, as I mentioned, unfortunately fail to realize this. We are living in a state of oblivion, in a state of denial, as if there is no maut, as if there is no death, as if there is no qabr, as if there is no jannat and jahannam, as if there is no hisab, kitab, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walk into any business place. Observe the movement of any person any day. Majority of us, illa mashallah, planning for the next day and the next year and then following year and 10 years and 20 years ahead. My respected brothers, everything around us in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that everything around us on a daily basis is deteriorating. Whatever you have today, if it's new today, it's old tomorrow. Everything is a target of the passage and the ravages of time to wake you and I up to the reality that we are also a target to that. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah prepared a book of hadith, 40,000 ahadith. Great scholar, faqih, muhaddith, and a mujahid also. And then he said, there is one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you will practice on this one hadith, it will be equivalent to practicing on 40,000 ahadith. They asked him, what was this hadith? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ni'matan maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. There are two bounties, two mata, two great wealth and favors which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every person with, but majority of you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, majority of you are in a deception about these two things. You think it's going to last forever, you take it for granted. You don't realize that it is receding. You don't realize that it is temporary. You don't get your priorities in order. You don't maximize the potential of these two ni'mats which Allah has given you. What are these two ni'mats? As-sihhatu wal-faragh. As-sihhatu wal-faragh. On the one hand, the health which Allah has given you. The health which Allah has given you. When you have that health, use it. Not for dunya, use it for deen. Use it for your akhirat. Tomorrow you may become sick, you may become infirm, you may become paralyzed. You may not be able to do what you are able to do today. So maximize the potential of this ni'mah. Don't take it for granted. Don't feel I'm going to spend my health in masiyat and sin. And then when sickness comes, then I'm going to make tawbah. And the second, al-faragh, free time. Time is valuable. Time is that ni'mat which Rasulullah s.a.w. said, لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ فِيهَا. When a jannati enters into jannat, what does Allah say? وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ. We will remove from the heart of this jannati every malice, greed, enmity, every negative emotion will be removed out of the heart. Every hasrat and regret will be removed. So that qalbun salim, with a free, happy, light heart, he will enter into jannat. But even in jannat, one hasrat, one regret will remain. And what will be that regret? Saatin marrat bihim lam yadhkurullaha ta'ala fiha. The time in this world, the time that Allah gave you to earn Jannah, to earn your Akhirah, to remember Allah, to obey Allah, that time which you wasted. Because that is one ni'mat and one bounty that is not coming back. The hallmarks by which the movement of time are acknowledged, we have said this many times before, my respected brothers, these are a wake-up call for us. These are an alarm bell. And these are ibrat and lesson. We have a rich heritage. Muharram, a new year has started on the Islamic calendar. Every one of us, when we look at the board now and then, take the trouble, instead of only looking at the English date, look at the Islamic date. 1440 years have passed. But with every Islamic calendar, there is an addendum, A.H., after Hijrah. What is the significance of that? What does it tell us about the heritage of Islam? What are we supposed to revisit? What are we supposed to be reminded about? We are not an ordinary ummah. We are an ummah of Hijrat. What does Hijrat mean? Where did this start? Allahu Akbar, ulama tell us that Hijrat was the sunnah of every Nabi of Allah. To leave their homes and their families and go in the path of Allah was the sunnah of every Nabi. And this reached a pinnacle with one particular Nabi, the father of this ummah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. We know the history. Jummah is too limited. I'm not going to go into the details. But just a brief synopsis for us to realize and be reminded that there is no escaping this reality of Hijrah. This is not the brainchild of Maulana Ilyas or Maulana Yusuf, or God, has anything to do with Nizamuddin or Raiwin. This hasn't started there, this call to go for 40 days or 4 months or to leave your families and your homes and go in the path of Allah. The very essence of our deen is based on this. Our calendar starts with this. Elderly father of over 90 years of age is commanded by Allah, take your young wife and take that newborn child, which is a result of 60 years of dua, and make hijrat. From where? From Palestine. Destination unknown. Jibreel is the guide. They reach Makkah Mukarramah. Makkah Mukarramah has no vegetation, no inhabitants, no water, no livelihood. It's a death sentence. Leave this young woman, your wife, and leave this newborn child and return back to Palestine. We know the incident. Like I said, I'm not going to go into the detail, but one very important sabak which we have to keep revisiting. That as he is leaving, Hajar is confused. We don't blame her. A young girl, she's barely out of her teens, 20, 21 years of age. One narration, 24 years of age. Is being so-called abandoned in a place with minimal provisions and a newborn child. Abandoned by her husband, who is a Nabi of Allah. And he's going, leaving her alone. As he is going, first she is confused, sobbing and crying. Did I commit a wrong? Did I make you angry? You are abandoning me. Holding on to his kurta right up till Quday, 3 kilometers outside Makkah. Finally the thought dawns, this is a Nabi. He's not going to commit zulm or oppression. So the critical question, what question does she ask? Allahu amaraka bihada. Allahu amaraka bihada, Ibrahim. What you are doing defies logic. What you are doing appears to be the ultimate zulm and oppression. What you are doing is subjecting myself and this newborn baby to a lingering death of, to potentially a lingering death of starvation, in solitude, in this place which Quran describes, to use our terminology to translate it, wadin ghayri zi zar, in other words, no man's land. What you are doing makes absolutely no sense. But Allahu amaraka bihada, Ibrahim, is this Allah's command? Is this Allah's command? The challenge every one of us is facing in our businesses, in our homes, whether it's our dressing, whether we want to keep this beard, whether we want to wear sunnat libas, whether we want to stay away from riba and interest, whether we want to stay away from lying and cheating, whether in our environments we are prepared to follow sunnah. The challenge that is facing every one of us is that everything around you will oppose that. A woman will put on parda, people will oppose it. In every circumstance when you practice on deen, you will be opposed. There will be challenges, there will be obstacles. You want to get your son or daughter married, you got a 7-figure bank balance. Islam is telling you adopt simplicity. Your whole family will turn against you and tell you adopt israf, extravagance. Get the music. Have the photography. Break every command of Allah. Otherwise, what are the people going to say? This challenge is going to face us again and again. Our mother taught us the answer. Ask yourself this question. When I do what is going to displease those around me, Allahu amaraka bihada, is this the command of Allah? Is this the command of Allah? Does Allah want this? Ibrahim, does Allah want you to leave me here with this newborn baby? When he nods in affirmation, what is the response? Idhan layyudayyan Allah. Idhan layyudayyan Allah. Ibrahim, if this is Allah's command, it makes absolutely no sense. This is a death sentence. But if this is Allah's command, there will only be barakah. There will only be khair. There will only be goodness in it. And what goodness? What goodness? Zamzam. Kaabatullah. And the greatest goodness from this progeny. From this progeny was coming what? Through this qurbani of hijrat, where Nabi left his wife and his child. Ulama explain, a foundation was being laid. You want to put up a big building, you can't put a small foundation. 40 days, 4 months is small foundation. Temporary hijrat is small foundation. This was hijrat e mu'abbad. Permanent hijrat. Permanent hijrat. Why? Such a big foundation for what? For an ummat of hijrat. For an ummat of Imamul Anbiya Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An ummat whose calendar will start with hijrat. An ummat for whom hijrat will be the turnaround point. an ummah of the last Nabi, no other Nabi is to come after him. So his ummah will have to make hijrat for this deen to spread to the four corners of the world. For that, the foundation was laid through this hijrat. Imagine that night. One night in our homes, the electricity goes. What happens to our masturat? What must have happened to Hajar? How dark Makkah must have been. Not a single soul. Then the next day when the sun rises, drops the curtain, opens its eyes, drops the curtain from in front of its face. As the heat increases, the tepid heat of the desert, and the ground starts boiling, and this little child is sobbing and crying and thirsty and hungry, and this mother has nothing. What must have went through her heart? Where did she put the child down when her arms became sore? On the boiling sand, where did she put the child down? Eventually, 2 or 3 days pass like this. She can't bear it anymore. This is why she separated herself, went to Safa and Marwa. Not because there was something there, but this was a desperate last chance attempt. Safa to Marwa, even that gap where she couldn't see the child, she started running. Allah loved this Qurbani. Allah wanted to keep this alive till Qiyamah. So every Nabi after that, every Sahabi after that, Imamul Anbiya Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded, you run here like your mother ran. You also run. So that the ummah is reminded, where have you come from? What is your tree? What is your background? What is your lineage? Where did all this start? Finally she reaches Safa on the 7th round. 7 was not a coincidence. There was nothing left. She couldn't go anymore. She was finished. One last attempt, one last glance. What must have been the hasrat in her heart? This was like the last time she is looking at a child. Reminds you of that moment when Amina, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Abawa, as she is leaving this world, leaving this young child, she knew this was not an ordinary child. It's mentioned in the riwayat of Ibn Kathir. The last gaze Amina takes at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 6-year-old boy, 6-year-old child. Kullu hayyin mayyit wa kullu jadidin bal. Kullu hayyin mayyit wa kullu jadidin bal. Every living thing will die, every new thing will perish, will become old. But I am leaving behind a child whose noor will light up the entire world. One last gaze Hajar makes, and suddenly an apparition. She runs, burst of energy comes. What is there? Zamzam at the feet of Ismail alayhi salam. Turn the clock front. What happened? The foundation was laid for an ummah of hijrat. So that in the khilafat of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this mashwara is held among sahaba. Islam is now spreading far and wide. No Sherwan. The Iranian empire, the Persian empire has fallen to the feet of Islam. Islam had spread to 2,200,000 square miles. The need was felt for a calendar. Where should the calendar of this ummah start? What do we identify with every Muharram? When we look up at that calendar, where did this calendar start? Opinions are given. Many opinions were given, majority were generally around three things. Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fateh Badr, the conquest of Badr. Fateh Makkah, conquest of Makkah. Ali radiallahu anhu was silent. Umar turned to him radiallahu anhu. Ali, what is your opinion? Where should our calendar start? What is the response? Al-Hijrah, Hijrat. 10 years in Makkah Mukarramah. My Nabi was persecuted. Person to person, 10 to 10. May you weeni, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi. Who will shelter me? Who will give me shelter? Who will become my helper so that I can make tabligh of this deen? The situation in Makkah became impossible in the 10th year. Two great catastrophes occurred. One is the pillar on the outside, Abu Talib passes away. The pillar on the inside, great pillar of support, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha, our mother. She passes away, 10 days gap between these two incidents. First Abu Talib, then Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. The persecution intensifies. Now Abu Talib's protection is no more there. So they used to beat him publicly. Before, they would not beat him publicly. End of the day, Rasulullah SAW would come home, Ma asra, ma wajadna faqdaka ya am. How quickly I have experienced the pain of your loss, O my uncle. In other words, the persecution multiplied manifold. Two supports are gone. Then the greatest and the hardest day in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he himself says was the greatest and hardest day, the day of Taif. We know the history. He couldn't even enter back into Makkah. He sends Zayd bin Haritha, his slave, adopted son. That under whose protection can he enter Makkah after Taif? He goes to Suhail bin Amr. Will you give protection for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to enter Makkah? He says, no. Akhnas bin Shariq, no. Safwan bin Umayyah, no. Finally, Mut'im bin Adi, with his sons, accompanies Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the haram of Makkah. And he says, I am giving him protection. Abu Jahl stands up. Are you giving him protection because you have accepted his religion? Or are you giving him protection because of family ties? And because you are a leader? Mut'im bin Adi says, I have not accepted his religion. I am giving him protection because I am a leader and of family ties. Abu Jahl says, your protection is accepted. Only like this. So critical had the situation become in Makkah that Rasulullah SAW was allowed to re-enter. It had become untenable. Every direction persecution. Every direction hurt, harm. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلِ فَالْأَمْثَلِ. This is Allah's sunnah. Those who will be tested the most will be the Anbiya. And then those who were closest to the Anbiya will be tested the most. This is Allah's sunnah. Like I said, I'm cutting the history short. It was the 11th year of Hijrah, 11th year of Nubuwwat, late one night, the month of October. He meets six young men, three from Aus, three from Khazraj. Abu al-Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Sa'ad bin Rabi, As'ad bin Zurara, Abdullah bin Rawaha, Nu'man ibn Haritha, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Invites them. The last two rukus of Surah Ibrahim are read in front of them. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامَ until هذا بلاغ للناس ولينذروا به وليعلموا أنما هو إله واحد وليذكر أولو الألباب. Finally, when he reaches this point, they knew the history. They had heard amongst the Jews of Medina, a Nabi is coming. The Jews said it is going to be from their progeny. When they hear this kalam, they realize this kalam is not, they were Arabs. Sahibul Lisan, they realized this Quran cannot be coming from a human being. This is Munazzal Min As-Sama. Every one of them there and then accepts Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they say, Ya Rasulullah, you come with us. He said, no. For hijrat, permission from Allah has to come. The foundation has to be laid. They were sent back. Next year, 12, the persecution had intensified. But the heart of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was light. Why? Because this hope had been planted in the heart. The people of Yathrib are coming. The people of Yathrib are coming. Next year, 12 came. 5 from the previous year and a new 7. Following year, 72. 70 men and 2 women, Umme Mani, Umme Ammara, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, close to the Jamanatul Aqaba, the big shaitan on the side. Up till today, there is a demarcation of that point. Late one night, Allahu Akbar, the seed is being planted of hijrat. Oath of allegiance is going to be taken on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On what? This is what you and I have to understand is our heritage. Where do we come from? Bara bin Ma'rur radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what are the conditions of your hijrat? Tuti'unani fil manshati wal makrah. Watamna'uni watanfiquna alayya. وتأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا تخافون في الله لومة لائم. What are they taking his bayat on? To obey me, whether it appeals to you or not, in every condition, obey me, obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Protect the Nabi of Allah like you would protect your own lives and your wealth. Spend where Allah and His Rasul command you. Enjoin good and forbid evil and strive in the way of Allah. And when you do that, when you call to Allah, when you strive in the way of Allah, then the lantan, the curses, the opposition, don't worry about it. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. When they hear this, they say, Ya Rasulullah, we are ready to take bayat. Abbas bin Nadala stands up. O people of Medina, before you take this bayat, I want to remind you of something. I want to issue one warning. In other words, understand the ramifications of what you are about to do. You are not just making these promises, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded you to do. Understand the consequences of what you are about to do. هَلْ تَدْرُونَ عَلَى مَا تُبَايِعُونَ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ تُبَايِعُونَهُ عَلَى حَرْبِ الْأَخْمَرِ وَالْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَرَوْنَ أَنَّكُمْ إِذَا أُنْهِكَتْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ مُصِيبًا وَأَشْرَافُكُمْ قَتْلًا أَسْلَمْتُمُوهُ فَمِنَ الْآنِ فَهُوَ وَاللَّهِ خِزْيُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَرَوْنَ أَنَّكُمْ وَافُونَ بِمَا تَعَوْتُمُوهُ إِلَيْهِ عَلَى نَهْكَةِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَقَتْلِ الْأَشْرَافِ فَخُذُوهُ فَهُوَ وَاللَّهِ خَيْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He says, O people of Medina, it is not a possibility, it is not a likelihood. It is an absolute certainty. You 72, when you'll take this bayat, what is going to happen? What are you actually doing? تُبَايِعُونَ وَلَا حَرْبِ الْأَخْمَرِ وَالْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ النَّاسِ. You are declaring war against the whole world. You will become the enemies of the entire Arab world. The Iranians, the Persians, the non-Arab world, the whole world will turn against you. This is not a possibility, an absolute certainty. Your men will be slaughtered. Your women will become widows. Your children will become orphans. You will become poor. And the streets of Medina will flow with your blood. This will happen. So I am cautioning you before you take this bayat. Accept and understand this is going to happen before you take this bayat. Allahu Akbar. They had barely accepted Islam, but such was the nur of Iman. Abul Haysam bin Tayhan says, Dana anka ya Abbas. Abbas, stop what you are doing. Turns to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah. He has told us what will happen. You tell us what will Allah give us. Allahu Akbar, my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah will give you Jannat. Allah will give you Jannat. One by one they are ready to take bayat, but one hesitation. What was the hesitation? Today with absolute ease and afiyat, what we say? May Aashiq Rasul, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the price tag of that love? Look at the devotion in the Ansar of Medina. They are just being told you are going to sacrifice everything. They have only one condition. Abu Haysam bin Tayhan turns to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, if whatever Abbas says is going to happen, happens. We are slaughtered. We lose everything. Then you are Allah's Nabi. Thumma adharak Allah. Allah's help will come. Islam will spread. Makkah will come back. Ya Rasulullah, when that happens, will you leave us and return back to Makkah? Will you leave us and return back to Makkah? فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَيْ نَبِي إِسْمَائِلِ بَلِ الدَّمَ الدَّمَ وَالْهَدَمَ الْهَدَمَ أَنَا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مِنِّي أُحَارِبْ مَنْ حَارَبْتُمْ وَأُسَالِمْ مَنْ أُسَالَمْتُمْ. میرا جینا تمہارے ساتھ ہے, میرا مرنا تمہارے ساتھ ہے. My living is with you, my dying is with you. لو سلك الناس واديا وسلكت الانصار واديا لسلكت وادي الانصار. The whole world can go on one road. My ansar in Medina go on another road. I will go on the road of the ansar. Such love. Never mind what happens till more time with you. When the conquest of Makkah took place, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on the mountain of Safa and made very long dua. When the Ansar saw this, the fear entered the heart that the memories of Makkah have come back. Now he's not going to return with us, he's going to stay in Makkah. Jibreel is sent. Ya Rasulullah, your Ansar have the suspicion. But gumaan ho gaya, they have the suspicion. He drops his hands from the dua, turns to the Ansar. Ma ismi idhan. Oh Ansar, ya mashal al-Ansar. What is my name then? What value is there to me if you feel I am going to break my ahad and my oath with you? I am with you, my life is with you, my death is with you. When the Ansar hear this, they burst into tears and they say, Ya Rasulullah, the suspicion or this doubt did not come because of weakness of iman or we doubted you. It was because of the intensity of love that we had for you. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have accepted your excuse. Your love is the reason why you had this doubt. On this, the road to hijrat was open. Ulama explained, what is hijrat? Gar chorna, biwi bacha chorna, mahbubat, marhubat, chor dena Allah ke liye. To give up your home, to give up your family, to give up that which you love for the sake of Allah. That which Quran says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرِّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain true ta'alluq with Allah. Bir, kamal-e qurb, true qurb, true ta'alluq with Allah cannot be found sitting at home. Qurbani has to be given. الدَّنِثَةُ ثِيَابُهُمْ الْمَشَقَّةُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ رُوَادُ الْأَفَاقُ قُطَّاعُ الْمَسَافَاتِ. Sahaba's clothes became tattered and torn. Their bodies were full of dust. They traversed long, long distances. Their feet became cut. They tied stones to their stomachs. That qurbani was given. Hijrat was made, and today you and I are reciters of kalima. Where are the graves of Sahaba? An ummat of hijrat was prepared. Sahaba asked this question, Ayyul imani afdal. Ya Rasulullah, what is the pinnacle? What is the height of iman? What did my Nabi respond? Al-Hijra. Al-Hijra. So that every year in Muharram, on the one side, Allah used the blessed day of Ashura to accept one of the greatest martyrs of Islam, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was the first of Muharram that personality who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if there to be a Nabi after me, it would be Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His shahadat, his mort takes, he is buried on the first of Muharram. We are reminded, we are supposed to revisit these things. And like this, our calendar is a reminder that Dawat and Tabligh is not the brainchild of some alims in India. Dawat and Tabligh is not the brainchild of some movement. It's not an organization. Hijrat, Dawat and Tabligh is the lifeblood of this ummah. It is the heritage of Islam. And if you want to find Allah, if you want the true love of Allah, the true ta'alluq of Allah, Quran has given us that nuskha and prescription. Sacrifice in Allah's way that which is beloved. Give to Allah what you love. Allah will give you better in return. Allah will give you better in return. The movement and the passage of time, as we mentioned, my respected brothers, this is a wake-up call. This is a time for us to take stock of the direction our life is going, because that clock is not stopping. That clock is not stopping. Qabr is coming closer and closer. The time to meet Allah is coming closer and closer. The time to face Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is coming closer and closer. Let us identify with our hijrat. Let us identify with our heritage. Let us change the direction, change our priorities. Become those who make this firm niyat to tread the way of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir.